The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey, y'all, before we get into the episode today, just wanted to let you know there are some audio issues. I didn't realize that the audio for the video we were showing was looping underneath what we were doing. It was muted in my headphones. So I've tried to clean it up as best I can. Just pretend that we are transmitting things in a encrypted file or something. All right, I hope you enjoy.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite lorecast on the Citadel.
Welcome to the Mass Effect Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the vast universe of lore behind the Mass Effect games. We'll talk about all the details you may have missed, ask the hard questions, and more.
Spectres, welcome back to the Mass Effect Lorecast. This is your host, Tom, or Robots, and I'm here with Sam as usual. Sam, how's it going, man?
I'm doing fantastic. You know, we've got a lot of stuff that has released over the past week for N7Day, and I just can't wait to dive into it. I've had now a week or so to think about and digest what we've seen, and I think we're going to need even more than that, but we might as well go with what we know now.
Yeah, so we've got today, we are going to reveal to you everything we know, and we even got some new info just in the last few days, even though it's been a weekish since N7Day. So this is for everybody who wants to know everything about what's going on with N7Day and all the leaks and all the secret stuff that has come out. So, Sam, let's get this started. Where do we start?
So there are some key details that we need to address right away with this video. And this is almost certainly, this video that was released, almost certainly a mass relay. How do we know this? Well, number one, it says in plain wording down there at the bottom left, relay construction record. So clearly a mass relay. The architecture is also kind of a giveaway. It has those revolving rings that we saw so often from previous mass relays and in other games in the series. But interesting to note here, the architecture looks distinctly human, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm getting a very human, and then we've got the coloring, which is very Cerberus.
Yes, and we'll dive into exactly how Cerberus might be involved. But you see the MR7 there on the mass relay? Well, those are Latin alphabet letters, which further inclines me to think that this is a human vessel, if you want to call it that, a human structure. Mike Gamble, the project director on Mass Effect, has previously said, because this is just a new version of that artwork, but it was released a while ago, and he previously said that this is not Mass Relay 7, but that does not correct when someone mentions, he didn't correct when someone mentioned it being just a relay that was being built. So he's just disputing the name Mass Relay 7.
Right, and up on the screen right now, you can see the tweet. Shinobi says, right, the concept art from the new game shows as much. This seems to be a human designation. MR7 equals Mass Relay 7? And Michael Gamble says, Derek would cry if saw this. Is that a camera flash? The humanity, here, have the real thing from BioWare 25, and this is where he's showing it, right?
And
yes.
Then he says, so, Shinobi's also wrong in his speculation, though.
He does say Shinobi's wrong in the speculation, but I think that refers to it being called Mass Relay 7.
Right.
However, in a comment, you know, under that thread, someone says, well, where is this relay that's being constructed going to? And he says, well, that is an excellent question. So it's not going, disputing that it's
going,
a relay.
Right. It's a relay and it might be going somewhere. Like, well, I guess, well, you can parse that two different ways. Where does the relay send people to? But a relay can send people to any other relay, right?
Correct. Or if they're building a second relay, it could send them anywhere. And here's an interesting thought that I had considered after it was brought up to me by another Mass Effect content creator. This could stand for mobile relay.
Mobile relay, right. And where is it going if it's mobile, right? Like, where would you put the relay if you're able to move it around? Rather than, and where would you send someone through the relay?
Exactly. And if you're able to move it around, can you even consider all of the mobilization ramifications this could have for a military force?
Yeah.
You can transport immense amounts of vessels in an instant if you've moved the relay, similar to like an aircraft carrier.
Right.
If you've moved it anywhere, this is a force multiplier.
Right. You keep it with the bulk of your force, and now you have a very, very effective tool.
Exactly. Then it doesn't matter how large your overall military is, because you can transport 100% of the power in 0 seconds.
That's crazy.
So an incredible force multiplier if it is a mobile relay, which Mike Gamble has not disputed. This, and another thing to keep in mind about this video that we got on In7Day, it is official that it was considered an intercepted message, likely intercepted from the Alliance, because we see in the bottom left, SA, Systems Alliance. So this is a message intercepted likely from the Alliance, and it's followed by --314. What does that mean? So 314, as a lot of Mass Effect veteran players know, is an incredibly significant number, because it could allude to the Relay 314 incident. That's what the Turians called the First Contact War.
Right.
But if you're thinking in military terms, because this is a Systems Alliance intercept, 314 could very well be a coded protocol message, sending a message to the rest of the Alliance. Hey, we have a 314 on our hands, 314 over. What could 314 allude to? It could allude to, we have First Contact Protocol. So maybe this means the Alliance is pretty sure they're making first contact with the new species.
Yeah. And like we've discussed before on the podcast, the mass relays are only in specific sections across the galaxy. There is a lot of uncharted space in the galaxy still.
There's a ton. I think the last that we had heard, now I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure the lore says that Citadel Council space only accounts for 2%
of the Milky Way. 98%. That means there could be 50 times more races out there that we've never seen.
Oh, the possibilities are endless, and we are already aware that there are species and races that are aware of Council space but would prefer to not interact. And it's not that they're antagonistic or militaristic, they just don't want to be a part of it.
Right.
So, first contact, new race, quite likely. I want to zoom into a different part of the picture here, because not only was a video released, but in the In7Day blog, the developers, BioWare, they released a screenshot, high-quality screenshot from that video. And inside the video and the screenshot, if you zoom in to the bottom left of the relay, you can see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 numbered on it. And then, yes, as well, right, there seems to be a spire or a metallic beam that's extending from the bottom underneath the number 4.
Right. Yeah, there's a few of these, again, that protrude off the ship, like off the side, you know, of the ship.
As we've said, as so many people have said, this is fiction, nothing is a coincidence. So could it be that they are protruding from the 4 in an allusion to, this is about Mass Effect 4?
Mass Effect 4, why put it on that number? Why even have a number? Why even have a number system 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 on a ship like this, right? You would, why, like that's bay number 1, 2, 3, but why? It just seems silly.
Right. Like, and if the spire wasn't there, I'd be inclined to say that this is placeholder text. Right. Just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. But the spire and the metallic beam seems to be a clear needle indicating something.
Yeah.
And I think it's like a Half-Life 3 situation. They're going Mass Effect 4.
Right.
And they're going like that. Right. Because depending on your perspective and depending on if you rotate it around this thing, it could be under Mass Effect 5, under the 5 thing. It depends on your perspective, but it looks pretty clearly extending from 4. So next up, there's a ship that a much smaller ship that appears to be flying toward and approaching this mass or mobile relay, whatever you want to call it. It's a relay regardless, but it seems to be approaching it, and it has that characteristic blue Ezo contrail that it's leaving behind it. It seems to be a 4-engine ship. We don't know what ship it is. We do know the Normandy was a 4-engine ship. We also know the Tempest was. And we also know that this prototype-looking ship that has appeared in previous N7-day marketing material is also a 4-engine ship. So it's not exclusive, but it does appear to be an important ship because it's the only one that looks like it has that blue Ezo contrail, and it's going toward the relay.
Yeah, yeah. No, it definitely has some familiarity to it, we should say.
Certainly.
Yeah.
And in that still image, of course, it's still, but in the video, you can see it approaching. And it's flying directly toward it, so I'm not sure why it is. No one knows why it is, but important nonetheless. Let's zoom into the details on the bottom left. I think this is where we get a lot of concrete, more concrete details. Number one, who is this Subnavark Soaral Zillion Jones? That name sounds inherently both Corian and human. Jones is quite the human name. And we've never seen a hyphenated name like this, not a cross-species hyphenated name. So I'm not quite sure what that means, but I think it definitely means that Corians and humans are involved in the next Mass Effect, and that this person could have adopted that name through marriage. They could be an adopted child of a Corian human parent, or it could be the Geth. Because if the Geth were going to adopt naming conventions, who would they adopt them from? And they would do it for ease of communication.
That does make sense. They're trying to be more like everybody else in order to fit in a little bit.
Exactly. And if it's a Geth-to-Geth communication, they'll just refer to themselves as whatever unit number they are,
right,
or whatever platform they're on.
Right.
But if they're communicating with organics, it would make sense why they adopt organic-type names, perhaps unique names that no other species holds, right? So that would make sense. Now, you also alerted me to this file name. What is the file name when you download that video?
Yeah, I don't have it up on the screen right now. What do you have?
It is. It's okay. So it's SA_intercept_cetherium_system_doc314. Right. Cetherium system. We've never seen that system before. I double checked all my notes from the previous episodes of the Lorecast. We've never seen the Cetherium system. I don't know what it means. Could be a brand new location. I don't see why not. But Cetherium, interestingly, is also the Latin name of the genus of otters. Mm-hmm. So first contact with otters, maybe.
Yeah, maybe this is the first. This is the 314. We contacted otter people.
First contact protocol. We have engaged the space otters. Over.
Space otter. include them with the Citadel systems immediately.
Keep
we need some
grubby
space
little
otter.
Paws off the crucible.
Otters are super cute. Let's bring them on board. All right.
So you mentioned the Cerberus colors. Yes, definitely Cerberus colors. And interesting to note, I said this is there was a previous version of this artwork released as concept art for the next game. Now we have this newer iteration, but the background has changed. The ships surrounding the relay have changed. A lot of it has changed, except the structure itself is definitely still Cerberus colored. And there's a very real possibility of, is this after Mass Effect 3? And if it is Cerberus trying to get ahead of the ball by building back better, to quote a famous politician?
Yeah. Well, if everything's in ruins, then now it's just a race to see who can claim the most whatever, you know, like advantageous position across the galaxy.
Of course. And we see that, you know, in our own history all the time. Post-war reconstruction is a race. And it's often because there's a power vacuum, right? So this would make sense given what people very quickly unearthed from the cryptic audio file in the background of that video. Originally, it's very garbled, it's static, it's not exactly clear what's playing. but fans decoded that very quickly, and we have the audio here that we can play.
We know that voice.
So that's Liara. Again, Liara is present in Mass Effect marketing material, so we can take from that what we will. But interesting what she says. The council will be furious. They should know by now not to underestimate human defiance. One organization comes to mind when I think of human defiance, and that is Cerberus. Of course, I'd be inclined to think the Alliance. However, the Alliance isn't involved in whatever construction's going on down there, I don't think, because this is an Alliance intercepted message.
What if that ship is the Normandy? That's Liara on the Normandy. The Normandy just discovered this structure and is doing a flyby in order to investigate it. And she's sending out that message from the Normandy, and the gigantic craft or one of these other vessels that Cerberus runs intercepted that message on the way out.
I think that's a pretty viable theory, especially considering that the Normandy, as we know, is a prototype stealth vessel. Mm-hmm. They could capture their own heat emissions and approach something like that relatively unseen because, as Joker notes, windows are a structural weakness and not always included on enemy starships. So surely they wouldn't try to approach the vessel without looking out the windows again. Well, they've done it before and it worked. So it's quite possible. I also think it's quite possible that Liara didn't send out that message, and the Geth sounds that we hear during that clearly in Geth language that we cannot comprehend. So I think it's more than likely that the Geth intercepted that message. And as we know, the Geth love surveilling every other species in the galaxy. If they intercepted that message, it would make sense why they would share that with Alliance Command. As we know, intelligence agencies share that kind of thing all the time for cross-agency coordination. So I think it's possible the Geth were surveilling Liara. They picked up that message. They shared it. Or perhaps Liara leaked it on purpose with her being the Shadow Broker. So moving on, I want to hit this point really quick. There are some ships of which appear to be arcs, Andromeda-style arcs in here. They look just like them. They have the four spines on the background, the solar sails. They look like they could be from Andromeda, while every other ship here looks like it's from the original trilogy. And I'm just purely looking at the technology of these ships, the freighters that are apparently working on this relay. So it raises some questions of Andromeda involvement in the next game. And the dev team has purposefully said in the past, Andromeda involvement is on the table. So it's on the table. I don't know to what extent, and anyone that claims to know to what extent is probably lying to you.
So, right.
So it's very interesting that they have Andromeda style arcs here, but if you're undertaking this massive construction effort like a relay, obviously the workers need somewhere to be, somewhere to live, somewhere to eat if they're not going to be on the planet below. And if it's post Mass Effect 3, resources are very scarce. So it would make sense to maybe put those workers who aren't on their shift into cryo on an arc, albeit a much smaller arc, because as we know, the Andromeda arcs were massive. So
Right. That makes sense.
Now, so there's one more detail here that if you've watched the video this far, you're going to be happy that you stuck around, okay? Because this is a kind of a big detail, and it's a detail that didn't really come out until a few days after in 7 Day. And we have an eagle-eyed Twitter user to thank for this, Zane Jace. So they said, "Do you see what I see?" And we can bring up the two images here on the screen. Basically, what we see here is a reflection. It appears that this intercepted message may have been surveillance video taken from behind a glass window, and we are seeing a reflection in there. And in the bottom left of the image, you might be able to see an N7 stripe reflected in the glass. Now, we could be looking too much into this. As one Reddit user very hilariously told me, it was copium to suggest it. However, I don't think it is, because it's the same exact lens reflection that is apparent in the very beginning of Mass Effect 1 and Legendary Edition. When Shepard is staring out the glass and they're talking about Shepard, it's the very opening to the game, and you see Shepard's N7 stripe reflected in the glass there. I don't think that's a coincidence. It looks exactly like it, and it's quite likely that they took that reflection, that lens flare, you know, visual effect
process, yeah, whatever that was,
and transpose the exact same thing over top of this. I'm not sure what that means, but if you brighten the image enough, it very clearly looks like a reflection of an N7 stripe. So that doesn't necessarily
keep going. That doesn't what? Go ahead.
Doesn't necessarily mean Shepard, but could be any N7 operative. It's an indication N7 is still important.
Okay, so you're saying that. And you've said this before, nothing in fiction is coincidental, because the writers are doing something very intentional. They want you to make connections. They want you to see foreshadowing. They want you to be like, okay, this is all related to a specific character or whatever. It would be silly to think that they would show, in my opinion, this, which is directly related to Shepard specifically, and say, oh no, like a few years from now when we get the game released, and then they say, oh no, it was a different N7.
It would be silly, in my opinion, but it wouldn't be the first time they've done it. If you remember marketing material from Mass Effect Andromeda, they teased the N7 a lot, only for that N7 to be revealed as Alec Ryder. So,
but do you think they would do that again? Do you think
I don't know if they would do that again.
With the feeling that the reactions everyone had to that game as opposed to the original trilogy, the hype they're building with characters like Liara, with making it, you know, Cerberus, it's going to be in the Nokia, you know, these familiar references to again go, oh, we got you. It's a different N7. Like,
right.
I don't think so.
It would kind of feel like a very unnecessary red herring, right, for them to do that.
Right.
And I don't think that they would, because everything about this marketing material so far, even dating back to that trailer we got two Christmases ago, everything has seemed to center on the fact that they want to evoke these nostalgic memories, these through images that were familiar, through things that were familiar. They want to lean back into it. And from a business perspective, that might be the right way to go.
Yeah.
Right. Because whether you like Andromeda or not, it was comparatively a flop to the original trilogy.
Yeah. And it's been very heavily implied, I don't know if we have proof of this yet, that they are going to go with the Destroy ending if this is a sequel, which it most likely is, and that means that Shepard might still be alive.
Yes, absolutely. And you know what? I want to dissect the timeline, but I think we're going to have to do that in a separate video.
All right. So tell you what, that's what we got for this video. We're going to do another video, and if you're listening on the audio podcast, this will be after the mid-break, but coming up next, check out the next video. It's about everything that we know and what is confirmed. So not just N7-day stuff, everything we know so far. So we're going to sum it all up for you. Don't go anywhere.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Message coming in. Patching it through.
I am sovereign, and this station is mine. I like the sound of that.
All right, here we are in the middle of the show, and last week we had such an awesome guest that we didn't take a mid-break because we wanted to get in as many questions as we could. So we've got to catch up a little bit on our patrons. Thank you for your patience, patrons. We really do appreciate you. And we have some new ones. Stephen L., Jackie E., and That Spectre J., welcome to the Patreon. Thank you for being here. And then Killian O. also upgraded as well. Thanks for doing that. And we've got to shout out our Shepherd tier patrons, Kolka Shins, Kira C., Lieutenant Tosino, Shep Valkyrian, That Spectre J., our newest Shepherd, and William. Thank you to all of you guys. If you are interested in checking out all the different things you can get, ad-free episodes, joining us on future episodes of the show, which, by the way, we're probably going to do this month on a different date because Thanksgiving here in the U.S., it's a big holiday. It hits right at the end of the week. And I'm sure all of you guys will have turkey comas come Friday night, which when we would normally be doing the episode. So the suggestion right now is potentially we do it on Monday, the 28th. Let us know what you think. I think that works for us. So hopefully it works for you guys as well. It also goes back to the original date that we would do it, or the original day of the week. So let us know. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on the 28th. And go to patreon.com/MassEffectLorecast if you want to check out all the different things you can get, including shirts and all sorts of fun stuff. We also have one new review that came in on Apple Podcasts. My favorite Lorecast. This is from Matt on Base in the U.S. If you enjoyed the Mass Effect games and enjoy the lore, but didn't memorize the entire backstory of every character, species, and planet, this is a great show. I think that means like most people, right? Robots in N7 go through topics that help fill in the gaps in the story and explain what created the conditions that made Commander Shepard's story possible. Awesome. Thank you so much, Matt on Base. If you'd like to leave a 5-star rating with a review with some words on Apple Podcasts, we'll read it out on a future episode of the show. Also, you can drop us a 5-star rating on Spotify if you listen on there. Both of those things help a ton. All right, Sam, you ready to get into the rest of the details about everything we know?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
All right, here we go.
Spit it out, or are you trying to build suspense?
You're so dense, sir. Obviously, I do not know as much about human relationships as I thought.
All right, so we are going to tell you exactly everything we know about the next Mass Effect game, which might be Mass Effect 4, including all the stuff that has been confirmed or changed due to the N7 Day reveals this year. This is basically confirmation on everything. So there's a lot of speculation out there, Sam. What do we know is absolutely safe and concrete?
There is a ton of speculation out there. I'm very, very tuned into Mass Effect social media, but I think it's safe to say, more than safe to say, this appears it will be a sequel, not a prequel, not an interquel. And, you know, I'm hear from a lot of people. Why? Why do you think that it's, it looks like it's going to combine Mass Effect Andromeda with the Milky Way, maybe? I don't think so. And it all comes down to the timeline. What do we know about the timeline? In the N7 Day video and image that was released by BioWare this year, it has a date, 11/7/90. Of course, that's November 7th, but the interesting part here is the year. Why did they leave out the first two digits? They want us to speculate. But we can most certainly rule out that that year is not 2090. It's also not 1990, although Nirvana and Mass Effect would be pretty sweet.
Yeah, they didn't quite hit big yet until like 91, but yeah, the early fans would be like, I saw them at a concert in Seattle back in 1990. Yeah, I don't think that's what we're getting.
Birth
here,
of grunge in Mass Effect.
Yeah, grunge comes back a few centuries from now.
It's cyclical. So 2090, no, I don't think so. This is important because it virtually rules out the game will take place before Mass Effect 1. So for everyone who is holding out hope for a First Contact War game, I don't think so. Maybe some flashbacks in the next one, but largely I don't think so. By 2090, humanity hadn't even discovered Mass Effect physics yet. So no FTL travel, no discovery on Mars. There was none of that. Humanity was not part of the galactic conversation when it came to geopolitical affairs. Mm-hmm. So 2190, 2290, hell, 2890. Maybe my guess is 2190 because Mass Effect Andromeda began in 2185. That's when the arcs set sail. Of course, it took them 600 some years to actually reach Andromeda.
Yeah.
But that technology was still from 2185 at the latest Milky Way technology. So 2190 makes sense because it's in the reconstruction period after the original trilogy, that being 4 years after Mass Effect 3. And regardless of the ending that you picked, this is the interesting thing to me, because there's so much debate of, oh, they're not going to canonize an ending. How could they canonize an ending? Or if they are canonizing an ending, it better be mine. Well, regardless of that ending that you picked, you're either going to have dead Reapers or you're going to have Reapers who are around and cooperative. So either way, you can reverse engineer those relays that were destroyed, making building a new relay entirely plausible. They built the Crucible in like 4 to 6 weeks, and that had never been done before.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to have the know-how, the ability, and more importantly, the drive to do it and the need to be able to get out across the galaxy again.
Was that a pun? Was it an intentional pun? Drive, FTL drive, Mass Effect
it wasn't,
drive.
Core. It wasn't, but I'll take credit anyway.
We'll roll with it. So the other thing is, yes, like you said, there's no impending doom. So it seems kind of plausible that people would be able to work faster without the constant threat of genocide lingering over their head. So there's that. We know that, I think, about the timeline. It's safe to say, not a prequel, not an interquel. I was terrified that it was going to take place at Mass Effect 2.5, maybe, you know, the two years where Shepard's dead.
Yeah, I don't
think
that's
going to happen.
No.
Now, the year is clearly ending in 90. Don't know what that year is. And the technology that appears to be in this in 7 day artwork looks way too similar to what we saw in the original trilogy for me to even speculate that technology has stagnated for 600 years and that this is actually in 2890. Come on.
No, I don't think so. No. I don't think they'll do that.
Okay, so next point, something we definitely know even more than that. This part has been confirmed by BioWare. It's single player. It's not multiplayer. There may be a multiplayer game mode, but the primary aspect of this game is single player. And like you said before, this makes sense because they're leaning into what worked, what right. fans loved about this series.
Right. Most people played the single player. Some people did the multiplayer. So give them a single player and then maybe tack it on later in a DLC or maybe make a whole other game that's very only focused on multiplayer. But yeah, they absolutely are doing what they know is going to sell because it's a business.
Yeah, Mass Effect, inverse of Call of Duty. Most people buy Call of Duty to play multiplayer. Most people buy Mass Effect to play the single player story. That's just the way it is.
Right.
And so this part is confirmed. They said, we're excited to bring you the next single player Mass Effect game. So everyone who was worried that Mass Effect, the next one could be like Fallout 76 or No Man's Sky, I don't think you have to worry about that kind of thing.
No. And one of the only reasons, and this is kind of a side note, one of the only reasons 10 years ago they included a multiplayer component on Mass Effect 3 was because that was the trend at the time. The thought was, if we include multiplayer, then one, we get people continuing to play the game more often, so they're going to buy other stuff. And then two, it also makes it harder to pirate. Because you can't play the multiplayer with a pirate version of the game, because when you log on to servers to play multiplayer, you can always find workarounds. But for the most part, for the average user, it's a lot harder to pirate the game. So,
yes. And we also know that this next game is being developed in Unreal Engine 5.
Yes.
I am so psyched for that. I mean, you've seen a lot of stuff from Unreal Engine 5, of course, from different games, but it looks fantastic.
No, it's very capable. It also will cut down on development time because they don't have to focus so much on developing the actual engine of the game. I'm sure they'll tweak the Unreal Engine 5 in ways that they need to do what they want to do. But that means faster development, and it's a very capable engine. I think it's going to look awesome.
Right. It's not going to be like Starfield where they built that engine from scratch, they said, right?
Well, they basically they took the Creation Engine, which is the Skyrim and Fallout engine that they've been using for years, and they've continued to iterate on it. So it's like a car. So like maybe from Skyrim to Fallout, they replaced the tires and the gave it a new polish on the outside, right? For Starfield, they've basically now gutted the entire thing. Like technically there's no component that hasn't been upgraded or changed from the original engine. It is still the Creation Engine, it's Creation Engine 2, but I mean, it's Theseus's ship question. Like how many planks of wood do you have to change before it's a completely different ship, right?
Yes, and this is not part of the engine discussion for Mass Effect because it is Unreal Engine 5.
Right.
And so, like you said, they're going to tweak things that are going to work better for the game, but overall, brand new engine, and it's not the Frostbite engine that Mass Effect Andromeda used.
Right.
And I think that that engine is to blame for a lot of the visual quirks that people did not like. Like the My Face is Tired.
And, right?
Yeah. and the terrible animation quirks from that game. There were a lot of things to blame, I think, on the Frostbite engine and trying to mash that in to a RPG heavy game. We don't have to worry about that. Unreal Engine 5 is the engine for this next game and it looks fantastic. If you haven't seen stuff, go look it up. We also know there's Mass Effect veterans coming back for the development on this series. We've known for a while now, Mike Gamble, the project director, he's worked on previous Mass Effects. He knows what's up. He knows he has that contextual knowledge of the game series. I think we're in safe hands with him. I just learned recently from this N7Day blog post that Parrish Lay is now the new, the creative director, franchise creative director. Now, if you are a Mass Effect fanatic, you might recognize this name, Parrish Lay. He's the mustachioed man who was well known for being the Mass Effect 3 cinematic director. The cinematography in Mass Effect 3 was incredible. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. It made that game have such poignant, impact, right?
Yeah.
So I'm very encouraged by this. The fact that they brought the cinematic director for Mass Effect 3 and now he's working on the next game. Can you imagine how great that's going to look in Unreal Engine 5?
Yeah, or at the very least, it's just going to feel right. It's going to feel familiar. It's going to feel like, oh, this is what Mass Effect feels like because it's the same guy doing the same stuff.
Exactly. And now he has even greater purview over the entire series. And there's also some new and tenured game devs who are joining the team. And they've hired a mission director from who used to work on Mass Effect Andromeda. Her name is Jessara Campbell. So if you liked the way, and mission director is a much more gameplay oriented position. Mm-hmm. If you liked the way that those missions went in terms of structure in Mass Effect Andromeda, then I think you've got a lot to look forward to. But in terms of, narrative or any of the other main gripes that I heard about Andromeda, that doesn't really fall under her her direction.
Right, right. All right, so what else do we know?
So Liara is alive.
Yep.
And continues to be.
Yeah.
This is like now the second or third iteration of teasers for the next Mass Effect in which Liara is not just alive, but we have new voice lines from Allie Hillis, who voices Liara and continues to be featured in prominent roles. Given the date 11/7/90, like we talked about before, it means this game has to be 2190 or afterwards. Otherwise, Liara is an infant by Asari standards because she was born in 2077.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
yet another indication, definitely not a prequel. And it makes sense to have Liara, who was the Shadow Broker by the end of Mass Effect 3 and survived no matter what ending you picked, she survived. It made sense in a post-Mass Effect 3 universe why the Shadow Broker would be playing such a major role when there's a huge power vacuum.
Oh, absolutely. Like, she's in the race, too.
She is the Power Broker.
Right, right, right. We talk about this in previously, but, like, if Cerberus is here with the N7 reveal and they're making a mass relay, then it's absolutely in her interest to be like, okay, what are they doing and how do I counter it?
Right. And maybe the next Mass Effect you're playing as a protagonist, don't know who the protagonist is, but what if you're trying to make peace and stabilize the galaxy between all of these different warring factions that are trying to assert control over this power vacuum in the Milky Way? And who's caught in the middle of that? Liara. Maybe you're not going to be friends with Liara.
Yeah, maybe there's some things she's doing that are dubious now. And you're just like, okay, listen, you're going to cause problems. You're going to create wars Yeah.
Right. This division that we already had seen so many times throughout the previous Mass Effects of the rest of the Milky Way galaxies resenting humanity for being too arrogant, too power hungry. Maybe this is going to come to a fruition and you're going to be caught in the middle as someone saying, we disavow Cerberus, but hey, we're still legitimate.
Yeah. Don't judge all of humanity on what those guys are doing.
And man, that seems so poignant with today's political sphere.
But yeah,
there's also familiar technologies and Milky Way races that have been released, not just in the video that we saw, not just in last year's In 7 Day, but some artwork that has been released by the BioWare Mass Effect team. And one of those that I want to bring up is this artwork that was tweeted out by Mike Gamble. And we can see here a number of things. We can see sky cars. The sky cars look exactly the same as the original trilogy, indicating that I don't think too much time has passed since the original trilogy's end. Because clearly, I think sky cars, primary modes of transportation, once you're in a hub, those would probably get some substantial technological upgrades if you were passing 100, 200, 300 years, right?
Yeah.
So they would look different, but these look identical. We also see a Turian here in the foreground. And if you zoom in there, it looks like the Turian is wearing a breathing apparatus. You can see a blue electronic light and a pipe or some type of tubing coming from his back and onto his front. And it definitely looks like a breathing apparatus there. So Turian, familiar Milky Way race, going to be appearing in the next one. If you zoom in a little bit more in the background, we see what looks to be a Salarian also wearing a breathing apparatus and a Krogan facing away from the camera with a tube coming from his back to his front. So perhaps, environmental hazards are going to be a matter in the next Mass Effect. We don't know exactly where this artwork has taken place, but we do see some newer looking technology with some spires and what would appear to be maybe, Mass Effect technology powered space elevators. The beams extending upward, they look exactly like the beam at the end of Mass Effect 3, when Shepard's rushing toward the beam to be, beamed up to the Citadel. So, and in post-Mass Effect 3 world, I think the races would probably look at that technology and say, hey, we have instantaneous space elevators. We should use those.
Yeah, that seems handy as well.
Quite possible. And, this planet looks very Omega-esque, with the exception of some smooth Asari-looking architecture. However, there are apparently hazardous conditions that are requiring multiple races to use breathing apparatuses. So I'm not sure where the setting is there. Second piece of artwork, we discovered this. It looks like a generic promo favorite store in the Citadel, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And it's in the In 7 Day blog. But if you zoom in a little bit, you see the Citadel, clearly the Citadel, and the Citadel arms extending toward the viewer. However, there's no Presidium Tower. There's no council chambers right in the middle of that center Presidium ring. That makes sense in a post-Mass Effect 3 world, or galaxy rather, because the Crucible would have annihilated that when it sent off its final blast, right? So mm-hmm. no Presidium Tower. And for, tens and tens of thousands of years, for as long as we know before Mass Effect 3, Citadel Tower was always there. So not quite sure what happened to it, but it's not there in that image. And there also appears to be a moon.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just looking at it, it appears like maybe there's a planet in the fuzzy looking background and then there's a moon up closer. Is that what you gather to?
Yeah, that's exactly what I gather. You can't really tell what the planet is in the background, and I think that's intentional, but very clearly a moon or a small orbital body. It's very small compared to the Citadel. And last we knew in Mass Effect 3, the Citadel was in orbit around which planet?
Yeah.
Our planet.
Yeah, maybe that's Earth. Maybe that's Earth and the moon.
Maybe that's Earth.
Yeah.
And maybe that's Luna. So I'm not sure, but very sneaky of them to put that in there in what would appear to be nothing more than a link to the BioWare store. So very interesting there. I think this is my, we're getting away from concrete. This is my speculation. But I think there's an ample amount of evidence to suggest that this is, I'm not sure how long after the original trilogy, but it is post Mass Effect 3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it all seems to be adding up to that.
Exactly. And, we've mentioned Cerberus. I think people are probably getting bored of us mentioning Cerberus. However, I think Cerberus or the remnants of them are likely to be a key player from what we've seen so far. You combine, you know, the Cerberus colors of this relay being constructed. You combine Liara's words in the recent trailer, you know, the, you know, human defiance, and the council will be furious. Of course, council will be furious about Cerberus because Cerberus is not exactly friendly to anyone except for humans. And even then,
they do some terrible things.
And, you know, I just finished my most recent playthrough on N7 Day. I forgot that the Elusive Man says there at the very end in your last interaction with him, you can kill me, but you'll never kill Cerberus because it's an idea.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ideas live on like viruses.
Yeah, you can't kill an idea. And I think I think the U.S. military discovered that in the 20 years they were in Afghanistan. You can't kill extremism as an idea. You can't. It's pervasive, and sometimes your own presence there is the reason that it's continuing. But that's a different topic for another day, because we're talking about power vacuums, ironically relevant, but power vacuums and post-war distrust of aliens. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine how that would skyrocket after the Reapers invaded?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It doesn't matter how many of the aliens were helpful. Oh, my God. Aliens landed on our planet and tried to destroy us. Aliens are bad. Aliens are bad. That's going to be the natural reaction.
Right. And this is the first alien invasion of Earth ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and not just that, but it's incredibly destructive. I would venture to guess that most of humanity was killed.
Right. Right.
And so that gives the context, or the pretense that an extremist organization like Cerberus would need in order to boost recruitment efforts.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they would expand that to all sorts of other things that don't even apply, and probably create misinformation. If it wasn't for all these other alien races, then we wouldn't have to deal with the Reapers to begin with. And it's like,
exactly.
That's not true, but they would use that.
Our own human shepherd had told them for years that the Reapers were coming, and they didn't listen, so we don't trust them anymore. And, you know, maybe the other aliens wanted humanity to be taken down a peg.
Right. Why do you think our Earth got attacked in the beginning of the conflict instead of towards the end? Well, you know... Yeah,
exactly. Here's an out of context soundbite from the Asari counselor saying that, you know, humans were too power hungry.
Right. Right.
The list goes on. And I think you combine this with the new narrative director, Mary DeMarley's involvement in her past with Deus Ex, and it seems on brand that a futuristic extremist militant corporation would be a big player. Right.
Absolutely. No, it totally makes sense. And it resonates again. Like, these games, we've talked about this before on previous episodes, they were predictive in some ways, like socially, like culturally, and to plug into things that are still true and actually happening in our own society, but doing that in a fantasy sci-fi kind of setting. It's par for the course.
I think that you kept up with Star Trek. I'm not sure if you were a huge Star Trek fan, but
not great, but
you were aware of the cultural zeitgeist that it had.
Yeah.
And I'm so sick of people saying sci-fi. Why is sci-fi becoming woke? Sci-fi has always been woke.
Sci-fi and fantasy have both always been woke. Like, absolutely. Like Star Trek in the 70s, having a diverse cast from different races and cultures and genders doing all sorts of important things and being badasses on their own. That was a 60s, 70s thing. Like, yeah, okay, so they were woke back then, you know, or maybe they just happened to be, you know, real about humans being awesome, regardless of where you come from. Yeah.
Right. And how that ties into Mass Effect, I see it entirely plausible that the next Mass Effect is going to, with different names and different people in fictional places, in fictional settings, bringing up very real themes that are affecting us today. Those being misinformation, supremacist groups, you name it. And who falls into that category more than Cerberus?
Absolutely. No, it totally makes sense. And that will resonate. That will actually help the series do better because it feels real. It addresses real things. It just works. You don't have to reinvent the way people interact and society functions. We're seeing it play out. That's why this show references things that happened in the history and how they correlate with things happening in the game.
Yeah.
That's how you make a fictional world feel real, is you take real situations, real themes, and you put it in the fictional world. You don't just try to invent something out of nowhere. You don't need to.
Exactly. And if there was a game, if there was a sci-fi game with no social commentary on what we're going through in our real life, it would likely feel too alien, ironically.
Right. Right. Or yeah. Or not real. It would just not feel real at all. Like, imagine not having a power vacuum and not having extremist groups do things. It would be like, why don't they have that? Wouldn't that be a thing?
It would feel too utopic.
Too utopic. And it would not feel plausible at all. The backlash you'd get from people later on would be, why are the writers so bad? Right?
Yeah, well, we heard that once before with Mass Effect Andromeda. But, you know, looking back on the past and two Christmases ago when we got that first official teaser trailer, and actually it was the subject matter for which we did our first episode of the Lorecast, mm-hmm. I think we can look back on that with a lot more clarity now, because the big question we had back then was, is Shepard alive? And I think the big question we have now, looking back on that and knowing what we know now, is how much of that original teaser trailer was actually copacetic, because the game is still in pre-production right now. Yes. Back then, I don't think it was even in pre-production. I'd be surprised if they had even had a one-pager on what they want the story to be. So back then, now looking back at it, I don't think that we can deduce a lot from that original teaser trailer, you know, the one with Liara picking up the N7 helmet plate from the snow and dusting it off. I think they were just summoning images that were familiar to the players. They were kind of saying, oh, you remember this? You remember this? And hyping up the series before Mass Effect Legendary Edition dropped, just to let everyone know, we are aware of what you loved about the series. We know that you love it, and you've got more stuff that you love coming.
Right, right. Yeah, all it would take is them saying, when does it take place? Who is still alive? And what is meaningful to bring up in a trailer? And then you make the trailer. That's it. They don't need to have it all fleshed out yet.
And they didn't even have all of those details fleshed out. So, and they didn't need to. And I think that they've been tiptoeing a very fine line. And I think that their marketing team, God, I don't envy their marketing team, because they have to make sure that they're not getting ahead of the development team, like we saw in Cyberpunk.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's a balance there. Yes.
Yeah. But that is virtually everything that we know so far about the next Mass Effect and what has changed in the time since in 7 days, now 6 days since we're recording this. And I got to say, I am very excited for the next Mass Effect. I don't care if Shepard is the next protagonist. We did mention the N7 reflection in the glass. I'm going to say it again. It doesn't necessarily mean that Shepard is going to be back, but I think it does mean that they're telling us N7, the N7 operatives, are going to have a role to play.
Yeah. Again, it just totally makes sense. Like, why wouldn't they? If there's humans involved, they're going to be involved. As long as they still exist, which seems like they do. So, yeah, that's what we got. So I hope you guys are excited about all of this as much as we are. We'd love to have your perspectives. If we missed anything, if there's any feelings or assumptions you have that you want to share, please reach out, join us on the Discord, or send us some messages on Twitter or wherever, or drop a comment or hang on one of our live streams and just come let us know. Sam, you got anything going on you want to share?
Yeah, of course. You know, on N7 Day, I did finish my first FimShep playthrough, but I'm not anywhere close to done streaming Mass Effect. If you want to see my new playthrough that I'm going to do, still considering playing Andromeda, then follow me on Twitter at N7Legend, or if you'd like to just interact with me directly, you can find me on the Discord or on Twitter, as long as that's going to be up, at N7TheLegend as well. So
I'm going to buy three verification check marks. I'm just listing official three of them on there. So you can join me on my live streams. That's where we stream this show on Fridays, usually at 5 p.m. Eastern. Things are getting really a little moved around lately with all the hype and stuff. We've been knocking out some episodes ahead of time. But join me on there, twitch.tv/robotsradio. My show and my other shows, and all the words don't make sense, all the other shows on the network over at robotsradio.net. And we will see you guys again very soon. Patrons, let us know if you can join us on Monday, the 28th. And until next time, stay safe out there. It's a crazy galaxy with a big power struggle happening. See you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to the Mass Effect Lorecast. We'd love to hear your opinion and thoughts on the lore of Mass Effect. Reach out to us on Twitter at Mass Effect Cast, or check out the Robots Radio Discord Also, you can send us an email at masseffectlorecast@gmail.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.